Hello, friends. It's me, the president of Chickenlandia. Did you know that I have a new book that is now available for purchase? You heard that right. It's called Let's All Keep Chickens, The Down-to-Earth Guide to Natural Practices for Healthier Birds and a Happier World. It's now available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, your local bookstore, and more. For more information on how you can grab your copy, just click the link in the show notes. It's so exciting, I can barely handle it. Okay, on with the show.
Welcome to Chickenlandia's 100% friendly podcast, Bok Talk. This show will help you learn all about how backyard chicken keeping can be fun, entertaining, and stress-free. Here's your host, the president of Chickenlandia!
Hello, friends. Welcome to Chickenlandia, and welcome to Bok Talk, your 100% friendly backyard chickens show. I am your host, Dahlia, also known as the president of Chickenlandia. I'm a backyard chicken educator that has found peace and joy in the chicken yard, and it is my mission to help you find that too. Welcome back. Today is episode 11 of season 5, and today we are going to be talking about something that is definitely going to make your life easier. At least it will make your chicken life easier, okay? I'm going to give you my best coop cleaning tips so that your cortisol levels just kind of even out. They go down. You can relax. Okay, that's what we want. I do have a question that was submitted through my website, welcometochickenlandia.com. So I'm gonna answer that question first. Well, I'm going to chat a bit. I'm going to answer that question first, and then I will open up the chat here live on YouTube for questions. If you want to submit a question to Bok Talk, all you have to do is go to welcometochickenlandia.com, go to the contact section, and then you can click ask a chicken question. I think it's like submit a question to Bok Talk or something. And when you do that, you're going to want to join the mailing list, Chickenlandia Nation. I do not spam. I am not a spammer, okay? But what I will do is I will send you a coupon to my online course, which is called Chickenlandia's Backyard Chickens 101, a chicken course for everyone. This is my super fun interactive course. It is a great way to get direct access to me, which I know that you guys want. You want to be able to ask me questions directly. That's the best way, okay? Because I do prioritize those questions. But yeah, just do that when you go to my website. And I hope to see you there. Before I move on, I need to make two announcements because I got to pay those chicken bills. I still have to pay the chicken bills, okay? My chickens are going to charge me to clean their coop. That's how highly they think of themselves. I need to let you guys know that, as always, this podcast was brought to you by the folks at My Favorite Chicken. My Favorite Chicken is my favorite online shop. To get my feed, I get my non-GMO, organic, and socially responsible scratch and peck feed there. I get my supplies, my chicken supplies from My Favorite Chicken, fun chicken stuff. I get my chicken fondue treats. And I think there's like red, white, and bugs. Like there's some fun treats on My Favorite Chicken. I will leave that link for you in the show notes. This podcast was also brought to you by the folks at Small Pet Select. Small Pet Select is a small local company to me, but they have an online store that I know that you guys will love. They have three products that I'm using right now. I am using their pet green. I'm always using these products. I'm using their pet greens. Actually, I have a new one to tell you about today. Their pet greens I always use. I always use their oyster shell. And their flaked oyster shell is my chicken's favorite. And I started giving them pea flakes recently, and those are like potato chips for chickens. They really like them. And it's just another treat, another way to get some yummy protein into them. And they love it. And you can check out these and other chicken products by clicking the link in the show notes. And I also put a coupon code there for you. And they have stuff for like rabbits and chinchillas. If you have those little critters, you should definitely check it out. Okay, so first off, when it comes to chicken coops, a lot of people ask me, you know, how often should I clean my coop? So to that, I will say, and I apologize for being a little bit vague, but it really depends. It depends on how many chickens you have, obviously. It depends on the size of your coop, the design of your coop, the type of bedding that you're using, and whether or not you're doing something called deep litter, okay? First thing I want to do is just give you some general things to keep in mind, and then I'll give you some simple tips that will help keep your coop cleaner in general, okay? So, obviously, you need to have a substrate in your coop. You need to have some bedding in your coop to help with the inevitable poop that happens when you have chickens, and especially at night, okay, when the chickens are roosting, they poop a lot. So you have to have something to handle that, and that can be straw. It can be shavings like pine, aspen, or hemp shavings. It could be, you know, some people like to use sand. Okay. The main thing is, no matter what kind of litter that you're using, is that you don't want your coop to get to the point to where it smells like ammonia. So once you smell ammonia, you really need to get on top of that and deal with it as soon as you can, either by completely cleaning out your coop, or if you are using some, you can buy some stuff that will soak up ammonia, and it will kind of help to process that ammonia smell so that it doesn't exist in your coop. And usually those products have some type of clay in them. So, you know, the best case scenario, if you're doing deep litter, you can put some of that stuff, and I'll put some links in the show notes for you, with some products that contain zeolite clay or another type of clay that will help to deal with ammonia. But the best case scenario is that you put some of that stuff down before you even put shavings on your... I don't know, honestly, if you can use it with sand, but I know that it works well with shavings and with chop straw, okay? But if you're doing deep litter and you're starting to smell ammonia, you can put some of that down, and sometimes it'll handle it. If it doesn't handle it, you're going to have to like start over. You have to start that process over, because you don't want that ammonia smell in your coop. It can cause not just respiratory issues, but other issues with chickens that you just don't want. You don't want to have. And I know it's hard. Like where I live, for some reason, the climate, the little microclimate that I'm in my little, like literally like my neighborhood, because I'm only 20 minutes away from where I used to live. But where I live now, it is very difficult to control the ammonia. So I do have to use a product to help with that. Where I was before, I never had to use anything. I did deep litter. I never had to deal with ammonia smell. It was just like, it was easy. But where I'm at now, I do have to deal with ammonia. So definitely you want to handle that as soon as possible. If you have sand in your coop, you are going to need to spot clean that more often than you would if you're using, you know, some other kind of substrate like wood chips or straw, okay? So what you'll want to do is get yourself a little cat litter scooper and make sure that every day or every other day you're scooping out that soiled litter, which is pretty easy since sand will clump, you know, when the chickens poop on it, usually it will clump together when it's soiled. So you can just go through there. And that's what a lot of people like about sand, because it's just, to them, it's easier for them to do that every day rather than deal with soiled wood chips or straw or something like that. I confess I'm not a huge fan of sand. I know some people love it. If it works for you, 100% absolutely do it. I'm not going to like tell you that you're doing something wrong, you know, if you're using sand. I prefer something more absorbent, because honestly, I don't want to have to be scooping litter every day or every other day. And also, sand is pretty permanent. And it's hard. Like if you have to replace it, it's a lot harder than it would be to replace something like straw or wood chips. Wood shavings. But like if you have like illness in your flock, or you have mites and lice in your flock, you really need to like remove the sand in order to deal with it. Like if you really want to get on top of it, especially if it's an illness that where you've had more than one chicken succumb to it, then you really kind of have to start over. And it's just harder to do that with sand. The other thing is I have ducks. Okay. And ducks are wet. They bring like moisture into the coop, and it's harder to deal with that with sand. And also I just live in a really wet climate. So like the chickens will come in, they've got muddy feet, they're getting things wet in the coop. And it's just, like I said, it's just such a permanent thing that it's harder to deal with. And I mean, I've used sand before in the run, and I didn't even like it in the run really. So, but that is me. That's my situation. A lot of people live in dry areas where it's just super convenient and easy to clean. And, you know, maybe in that scenario, it would help to prevent disease because you're keeping it cleaner. But for me, I'm just not a huge fan of it. One really, I think, important thing that you can do, especially if you're using sand, is to have a poop tray of some sort under your roosts to catch the poop, okay? And if you don't know what I'm talking about, if you go to Google and you put in poop, you know, chicken poop tray, you're going to get tons of examples of things that people have created that go underneath the roosts to catch the poop that the chickens are creating overnight. Okay. And like I said, like that's when they're pooping the most is like overnight. They're in their coop, they're on the roost, and they're just pooping. So if you can have some kind of a tray to catch that and deal with it on a more regular basis, then that is like half the battle right there. And I think especially if you're dealing with sand, it's really helpful to have something like that. I don't have anything like that only because I just haven't done it. Like I keep thinking I need to do something like that. But you know, I have deep litter in my coop. So when the poop falls, it just gets processed into that composting system. And if you don't know what deep litter is, I will put a video about it in the show notes. Okay. So yeah, I don't have a poop tray. I probably should, one of these days I'll get around doing it. I've got a lot of ideas about it. I just haven't done it. So that will go a long way to help, you know, prolong the major cleanings that you need to do, especially if you only have a few chickens. If you have that poop tray, it just makes things so much easier. So here are some things that you can do to keep your coop cleaner and easier to manage in the long run. And these are daily things that you can do. Check your nesting boxes every day. Make sure that they are clean. Make sure that there's not any poop in them and replace the bedding as needed. And that'll take you like 2 minutes to just check that every day, depending on how many nesting boxes you have. And this is another scenario where you could have a kitty litter scooper and, you know, depending on the kind of bedding you're using and the kind of nesting material you're using, you can use that in the nesting boxes if there's been a chicken that has pooped in there. You know, I mentioned earlier that if you have sand in your coop, you can use a kitty litter scooper daily. You can also do that if you're using shavings. Like you can get yourself a little kitty litter scooper and scoop out the poop every day if you want to. That's beyond what I want to do, especially since I'm doing deep litter. But a lot of people like to do that because it just keeps things, first of all, it keeps things cleaner in there. And it's just easier when it's time for them to do a deep cleaning. Chicken coops are very dusty. If you have chickens, you already know that. If you are getting chickens soon, you will know that. You know, even baby chicks are like super dusty. They just generate a lot of dust. And chicken coop is always going to be dusty. To control it, you can keep like a feather duster or some type of thin synthetic duster in your coop or next to your coop. Or you can keep like a microfiber cloth that you use just for your coop, just to wipe things down. And this is, you know, if you have a tiny coop, obviously it's not going to matter that much. But like I have a bigger coop and I just kind of, right now it's not in great condition because I've just been very busy. But what I like to do is, you know, just take 2 minutes out of my day and go in and just dust the nesting boxes and dust the windowsills and stuff. And it just keeps that dust level down. So it's not like super overwhelming when it's time to clean the coop. And I also will have, I have like a thing that has an extender on it, and then I can use that to clean the cobwebs because my coop has a pretty high ceiling. So I use that to clean the cobwebs. So another thing that you can do, and there may be times of the year where there are exceptions to this rule. I've been talking about this recently because we just had a big cold snap in Washington. And I was, you know, I put out a video about that last week. But if it's possible for you, you really don't want to keep chicken feed or feed your chickens in the coop. You can keep the feed in the coop if there's room and you have a rat-proof container. But you don't want to put your feeder in the coop if you can help it, okay? Like I said, sometimes there's exceptions to that rule. Like if it's so cold outside that your chickens are just like, no, we're not going outside. We don't care if we starve to death. We're not going out there. Or maybe they really shouldn't go out there because if they go out there, they're going to get frostbite. In that case, you will want to feed them in the coop. Not a big deal. It's just it can create more dust. It can create more of a mess. It can cause you to have more to clean up when it's time for you to do the deep cleaning. And it can also create a rodent problem within your coop, which you don't want. So no rule is written in stone in Chickenlandia, but this is one of those things, if you can help it, don't keep your feeders in the coop. And this is one thing that I absolutely cannot live without. I have like a paint scraper, and you can go to any hardware store and get a little handheld paint scraper. And I just scrape the roost every day because there's, inevitably somebody's pooped on the roost, depending on the size of your roost. You know, I have some roosts that are pretty wide, and so, but they're flat. So it's really easy for me to just go in there with that paint scraper and scrape off the poop so that, you know, and I'll do that probably every other day, sometimes every day. And then it is so much easier when it's time to do a deep clean, because if I never did that and I was only cleaning those like once a month, there would be a lot of poop collected on them. And I don't want my chickens to be standing on that. You know, they can get infections and stuff, and you don't want that. So that's a great way for you to keep the roosts pretty clean, is just to scrape them whenever you have a moment. It literally will take like 2 minutes, unless you have, you know, a really big coop and a lot of chickens. So those are everyday tips. I hope that they will help you. I do them as much as I can. Of course, my coop is not perfect. Right now, it is totally not Instagram ready. My coop is not Instagram ready right now. It's dusty in there. It needs a good cleaning. And that's the nature of it. As long as it's not like dangerously soiled, like I said at the beginning, there's ammonia buildup. You know, that's what you don't want in your coop. You don't want there to be like just so much, you know, it's just so soiled that it's unhealthy for your chickens in there. But no coop is going to be pristine because there's chickens in it and they're going to poop. There's poop in the coop no matter what. it doesn't have to be Instagram ready, but you want it to be nice and healthy for your chickens, and you want it to be easy on you so that you have more time to enjoy them and less time that you have to take cleaning out the coop. All right. Oh, and you know, when it's time for you to do the deep cleaning, just get out, you know, get a good scrub brush, scrub your roosts, scrub the nesting boxes and other surfaces the best that you can. You can use like a solution of one part vinegar, one part water. That's a great way to clean your coop. Remove and replace your bedding and your nesting material unless you're doing deep litter. But then you still want to remove your nesting material. Of course, you're going to want to dust and remove the cobwebs. And if you've had issues with mites and lice, that's the time when you need to treat your chickens and treat your coop. And then you're going to be golden. You're going to be golden, and it'll be easier if you do all the daily things. Okay. So I hope that makes your life easier. I hope your cortisol was lower just from listening to that. I hope mine is too, because it's been a little high lately, if you want to know the truth. So there it is. Okay. So before I move on, I want to answer a question that was submitted through the website, welcometochickenlandia.com. This question is from Mandy. And Mandy said, I have a silky at the bottom of the pecking order who has scaly leg mites and can move her legs but won't stand up. We have been treating her for over a week. I have looked up recovery time, but I can't find any answers as to why she won't stand up. Is this common from leg mites? I'm a new chicken mama and my silky is just barely a year old. So, Mandy, I would say that is not super common just for scaly leg mite, unless it is like a really extreme case, which can happen. It can happen. But you would know, like you would be able to tell. It would be very evident that it is very extreme. Like it can be to the point where there's deformity. It can be to the point where they have lost the scales on their legs completely, and they would be very visibly uncomfortable. Normally, the treatment that I suggest for scaly leg mite is just to get yourself a bucket, like a small bucket, and some cheap, you know, go to Costco or wherever and get some cheap vegetable oil. It's not for eating. You know, your chickens aren't going to be eating it. You're not going to be eating it. This is just for dipping their legs in it. So you get this bucket, you get this cheap vegetable oil, and you dip their legs in it, you know, like every other day for 14 days. And then if you want to, you can do it again in like 7 days. You know, you can dip them again just to make sure that they're gone. So that's the easiest way that I have found to treat chickens, especially if you have a bigger flock. It's like, it's so much easier just to at night go out there, get the chicken, dip their legs in the bucket, put them back on the roost. You know, it's just, it's so much easier. But for extreme cases where a chicken has, you know, maybe deformities going on, they're obviously in physical pain. And it's just, you know, it's just gotten to this extreme point. For something like that, I will bring them inside and I will follow the rest method with them. And it, in case you don't know what that is, I will leave a link to that in the description so you can just, so you can learn about it. It's really just a protocol to follow when you have a sick chicken. No matter what's going on, it's usually very helpful. So I would do that. And instead of just using oil, like vegetable oil, I would use something that was healing, like an A&D ointment is my favorite thing. And then I know a lot of people will use bag balm. And I would replace that every few days. You don't have to do it every other day because it stays on their legs longer, but I would do it maybe every 3 days and just really slather their legs in it. And then, you know, you can also put a homeopathic in their water in a 30C potency arnica, the homeopathic arnica. That is for swelling and pain. And I think that will help them to kind of heal from what is going on. I will say that if you're not seeing improvement after a week and if she's not standing up, it is also possible that your chicken has something else going on that isn't scaly leg mite. Okay. Maybe some kind of injury, that's causing some swelling or something. One thing that does come to mind is gout, because sometimes people will confuse the swelling on the feet, and legs that is caused by gout. They will confuse that with scaly leg mite. So what I would do is I would look up some pictures on Google of gout in chickens and see if that might be what you're dealing with. Gout can be caused by a few different things. The treatment is different depending on what's going on, but you definitely want to rule that out. And you know, if it's not scaly leg mite, you're going to need to start looking and seeing what else it could be. But I would start with gout first. Okay. I hope this helps, Mandy. I hope that your chicken is doing better. I know that you sent this a little bit ago, so it's possible maybe she's doing better and she's up and walking right now, but I wish you the best of luck. And thank you so much for your question. Okay, now I am going to open up the chat for questions. Okay, so Whitney asks, how do you do the deep litter method with ducks? I tried for a couple weeks and then started to smell ammonia. You know, that actually may be a huge part of what I'm dealing with right now. It is a lot harder to do deep litter method with ducks because one of the things about deep litter is you want it to be dry in the coop. And what I have found that has really helped is that I turn the litter myself, like rather than just having the chickens turn it. A lot of times the advice is just like, hey, you know, when you add the new litter, then your chickens will turn it because they're just going to go in and they're going to peck and scratch. But I have found with the, and it may be because of the moisture in the coop, I have found that my chickens don't turn it very well. So I have to do it myself. So I think that's probably the key. And then I think with ducks, you just have to use, although at my old place, I didn't use anything, but where I'm at right now, I do have to use some kind of product that helps with ammonia. So yes, it is definitely harder to do deep litter method when you have ducks. Leanne asks, how do I keep a domestic dog away? So this one is really tough because if a domestic dog can get to your chickens, there are so many other animals that can get to your chickens. Like a raccoon can get to them, a coyote can get to them, a fox can get to them, a weasel can get to them. So how I would think of it is just general predator proofing, like make sure that your chickens are in a place where a dog, like a free roaming dog, cannot get to them. And that's when it starts getting kind of tough because it's, you know, it's expensive to have that kind of fencing. And also you will want to skirt that fencing or, you know, skirt hardware mesh or some other type of wiring around the fencing to keep the dogs from digging because dogs will dig underneath the fence to get to your chickens. Or you'll need to dig a trench around your fencing and bury the hardware mesh or other type of wiring to keep the dog from digging. But I will always say, like, you know, domestic dogs, that really is your biggest threat. Depending on where you live, are the domestic dogs. And I have a really soft spot in my heart for dogs. Like I have four dogs and they're not chicken friendly dogs. They're rescues. Sometimes people get dogs and they have that prey drive. And once they get past a certain age, it's hard to train that prey drive out of them. So the way that I think of it is that it is my job as a chicken keeper to protect my chickens. And that, you know, that makes it tough. And also, you know, obviously it's awful. Like if a dog somehow gets out and gets into your chicken yard, that's an awful scenario. But a dog with a prey drive is just like, that's their instinct. That's just what they're going to do. It's our responsibility to make sure that they can't do that, you know? So we just do the best we can. And, you know, if you have one great thing, like if in any scenario, like a really good dog that you have that can protect your chickens would be great because they'll just deter a lot of animals from coming onto your property. But other than that, it's like fencing, you know, there's some electric fencing would be cheaper than having to like fence in a whole big yard or something like that. So that might be something that you consider, but yeah, that's the way you keep domestic dogs away. You got to just make it to where they can't get to your chickens. Whitney Hoffman asks, can we ferment chick food? Yes, you absolutely can. I do have a video about that. If I remember, I'll put that video in the show notes. You can ferment chick feed just like you ferment adult chicken feed. I would start out very small because baby chicks don't eat that much. So I would start out really, really small. Make sure you get the hang of it. And do not ferment medicated feed, okay? And I tell people that not only because I don't know how the medication will affect the ferment, but also because I don't know how the ferment will affect the medication. So just to be safe, do not ferment medicated feed. But yes, I mean, I've had baby chicks that were raised on fermented feed. And in fact, Ebert and Bubblicious, who are very healthy, were raised on fermented feed from the time that they were babies. And they always seem to be healthier. And it does also help with like things like pasty butt. So Yeah, baby chicks love fermented feed. Can a person be allergic to chickens? Yes. The first man is allergic to chickens. If you can believe that. Like, he's pretty clearly. It might not be the chickens themselves, but it could be the bedding, like especially straw, you know, that generates a lot of dust, or just the dust in the coop. But something definitely, especially baby chicks, like if he holds a baby chick, it's just like, ugh. So yes, absolutely, a person can be allergic to chickens. Potato asks, have you ever used I don't know how to pronounce that, but I know exactly what you're talking about, for respiratory issues with chickens. I have not. I have not. And I can't really comment on that because I don't know if it would be. I assume it would probably be fine, but I have not used it. So Bella asks, how can I get my chickens to go outside in the winter? Well, if they're not going outside, there's probably a pretty good reason. Like it might just be too cold for them to go outside without getting frostbite. And they instinctively know that they can't be in that really cold, especially if it's drafty, they can't be in that weather. If there is snow on the ground, they might be like, nope, I'm not walking on that. That is not unusual. Okay. My chickens just absolutely will not. They won't really come out of their coop or in their little run area, their little protected area. They won't really come out of that if there's snow on the ground. But I have found that if I shovel a little area for them, they will walk on that area. So you might want to do that. You might want to create like a little path for them. You can put straw down. If there's snow, just shovel a little path for them, put some straw down, and they should come out if you create that for them. If it's too, a situation where it is very drafty outside, you really actually don't want them to be out there in that because they can get frostbite depending on how cold it is. So you could just create some extra barriers. Like if you have an enclosed run, you could wrap part of the run with some tarp or, a lot of people will get like really strong industrial plastic and wrap the run in it. Just be mindful that even in the run, there needs to be good ventilation. So you can wrap it along the bottom so that they're out of those drafts, but there's still a lot of ventilation in that area because I'm telling you, like in the winter, even when it's really cold, you need to have good ventilation in the coop and in the run, because without that, you can run into other problems, including frostbite. Like it can literally make frostbite worse. Like it can make frostbite happen, whereas it wouldn't happen if there was better ventilation in their run. So keep that in mind. Sometimes chickens just, I get it. I don't want to walk out there either. Okay, guys, thank you so much for joining me today. Thank you to my moderator and co-producer, Kelsey Paulus, also known as the Chickenlandia Presidential Advisor. Thank you to Talking to Crows for editing this episode and to Double M Ranch for their wonderful podcast art. If you enjoyed this podcast, please remember to rate and review it. Or if you're on YouTube, you can give it a thumbs up. And also remember that you are always welcome in Chickenlandia. Bye!
Dalia Monterosso, also known as the president of Chickenlandia, is a backyard chicken educator in Northwest Washington. To submit your question to Bok Talk, visit welcometochickenlandia.com. We'll see you next time. Bye-bye.